Hello, friends, and Happy New Year. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle in the United States. We had on for the first hour a wonderful film producer, Emmanuel Eiter. He's on the line now, and we're holding him over just for a few minutes because we started late last hour. After that, we'll be going to Canada to interview David Sirida, famous Canadian author, writer, and film producer. And I just want to say that, Emmanuel, you've had such fascinating things to say. Since we started late last, I want to give you a few minutes. Go ahead, and I want you to take a couple of minutes, and if you could please give some parting thoughts to my many listeners around the world.
Yeah, well, what I'd like to invite people and folks in is the idea that if we look at our civilization, we have done a great effort at liberating the body. You know, we have abolished slavery, even though there is still a lot of problems. There's still a lot of prostitution and poverty and abuse physically of women and children. Still, we have almost liberated the body. But what we have not touched totally about was the liberation of the mind, the liberation of the soul. How do we need to break down this really mental jail that's imprisoning our mind and our soul, and we still have real borders between each other? When we do that, I think we could achieve one. So basically what we have to do is really, and it's tough because we've been really formatted again and educated to believe we are bad individual that belongs to this tribe with bad faith, with bad class, with bad race, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So we are given an illusion of an identity that makes us believe we are only an individual, when really we don't realize, well, that individual is part of a bigger self. It's part of a big assemble, and it's all functioning together, and everything has indeed consequences, whether it's thought, whether it's action. So really, we have to transcend ourselves. We have to make a really, really, really huge effort to go beyond our formatation, our manipulation, and really try to re-educate ourselves as seeing ourselves as one. I'm not French. I'm not an American. I'm a citizen of the planet. You know, I'm not black. I'm not white. I'm a human being. I'm a soul. I'm not Jewish. I'm not atheist. I'm not Muslim. I'm God. I'm part of the divine. You know? So my invitation is about vibe, to elevate really our mind to a consciousness that we are indeed one. There is no separation. But it's tough, and it's a work that takes time, you know, especially because there are still people who try to lure you into their web and telling you, no, you have to do that ritual, and you have to do that prayer, and that's how you belong. No. You belong when you open wide your arm, and you open wide your heart, and you say, I love you, and you embrace everything, without a doubt, without a negativity. That's how you're going to change the world, by embracing the entire world.
Well, Emmanuel, you have a beautiful message for the world, and I just want to thank you so much for coming on today, and sorry we got stuck both in traffic last hour, but it's been such a pleasure to have you on. And I do have some ideas I'd love to share with you about some of your movies. I'll email you this weekend. And in the meantime, I hope you get to your destination soon.
Oh, yeah, I'm almost home, actually. Just 20 more minutes. So it was a beautiful discussion. And by the way, if anybody wants to reach out to me, you know, I'm a very inviting, inclusive type of human being. You can do that through the internet. You just type my name, Emmanuel Eiter, Google me, my email content forward, my website, you know, and please try to watch the invocation and fun. I think we are up for a great moment and a great self-discovery of yourself and the others.
Well, merci beaucoup.
So I really thank you. Yeah, I thank you, my friend. Absolutely.
My pleasure. And merci beaucoup for coming on today, and bon voyage on your wonderful trip.
Thank you. I love you all.
All right. Thank you, Emmanuel.
Bye-bye.
Au revoir. Au revoir. Hello, David. Are you there? Yeah. We're going on in just a minute with David Sirida up in Canada. And I wanted to say, for those who are tuning in, this is the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from Bellevue, Washington, 1150 AM, KKNW. I wanted to tell you that we have a fascinating program on today. We are one of the top-rated radio talk shows in Seattle. We are also the fastest-growing psychic and UFO radio program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries. Quickly, I just want to thank everyone who supports this program, including my friend Carol, and my dear friend Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project. And also want to thank everyone out there who's been donating to help support the program. If you'd like to donate, we're entirely listener-supported. Please go to our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click the donate button. Even $1 or $5, $10 really, really helps. You can also listen to the show live from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time at www.1150kknw.com. Or after the show, you can always listen to our past shows at www.outofthisworld1150.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Ted Marr, OTW Radio, and on Facebook at Out of This World Radio. Quickly, I wanted to tell people that I'm sponsoring a Galactic Wisdom Conference in Gig Harbor, Washington. It's going to be a wonderful opportunity to meet some of the best UFO and psychics in the world at the conference. For more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And now let's bring on David Sarita onto the show from Canada. David, hi, good afternoon. How are you today?
Good, Ted. How are you? Lots of snow up here.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, we've had lots of snow, as I imagine you have, too.
Well, there's the Congress passed a law last year where above the border here in Washington, snows are below the border here in the United States, snow's illegal. So I'm just joking, of course. But you know, it's a nice day here. The birds are out. It's about 85 degrees. The palm trees are blooming. The roses are blooming, and a lot of people sunbathing. No, I'm just joking. It's a sunny day, but we don't have any snow right now, anyway.
Yeah, we just had a lot this week up here. I'm in Nelson, British Columbia, just across the border, and it's beautiful here. And we've had about 2 feet of snow, and it's a wonderful place.
What a beautiful place. I was there about 10 years ago, actually, with a friend, and really loved it. Now, Nelson, you're right on the – there's a lake there, isn't there, I think?
Oh, there's lots of lakes and hot springs. You know, we moved from Sedona, Arizona. We were there for 6 years, and our mm-hmm. daughter was born there.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I lived in Los Angeles for many decades, and I'm Canadian originally. We decided to come back because it's just much more peaceful up here right now.
Sure.
And found a beautiful community here with a lot of spirituality and the lakes and swimming in the lakes. You never guess that being this far north that you're swimming in these lakes and it's warm in the summer. And, I mean, it cools you off, but it's just paradise, sandy beaches and a wonderful place to raise our children.
Well, what a nice place. What a nice place. Yeah, I was up there some years ago, and I have fond memories of when I was there. There are all kinds of cafes everywhere. Beautiful place to go. Very, very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I urge everyone, if you're close to Nelson, British Columbia, do visit the area. It is a very pretty, very pretty area.
Yeah, it's amazing how small-town life can grow on you after living in these big cities where you're in your car all the time. And for me, you know, meditation and having time to meditate every day is my number one priority, and learning how to go into cosmic states of bliss consciousness. And now I've launched this online course where people learn how to meditate to these tones of this lost scale that I discovered inside of the Great Pyramid.
Really?
And it's the newest work that I have. I mean, it's quite amazing to think that all of our music is written to us scale of tones, A, B, C, D, F, G, times about 8 audible octaves. So on your piano, you go from the far left and you start at 110 hertz for A, and you go A, B, C, D, F, G, A, B, C, D, F, G, A, B, C, D, F, G. You see it keeps going up another octave. And the black keys are flats and sharps, which make up a total of 12 tones per octave. So what I've discovered is, and it's been known for a while now, that there are more pure ancient scales. One, it's believed that these Gregorian chants and monks were singing to a scale that was extracted from the Bible, known as the solfeggio scale. But the solfeggio scale has six basic tones, and some people have expanded it to nine tones, but it's not a whole scale. It's just nine tones. Whereas our music scale has 12 tones times eight octaves, and the scale that I've discovered, I'm going to give you some amazing back history, is actually 10-tone scale, and it's times 12 octaves. So there's 120 octaves per scale, but there's three scales. There's a low, a mid, and a high scale. So there's 360 tones, as there are 360 degrees in a circle.
Wow.
And what I did, I have a video on Vimeo. You can just search the lost scale if you want to see this. I did a distortion test to test the distortion between all the 12 tones that we use in our chromatic modern music scale. And then I tested the solfeggio scale for distortion. And then I tested the scale I found in the Great Pyramid, and it's definitely far superior.
Really? Fascinating.
What happens is, you see, each tone on our scale is a frequency. It's a number.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a tone generator program, as I did in this video, and you play each tone and stack them on top of each other, what you're listening for is a wobble or a distortion.
Mm-hmm.
And our scale definitely distorts. Mm-hmm. And when you play just the seven bass tones of our scale, they distort.
Mm-hmm.
But even though we write our music to this, and all of our music gets us really high, we really enjoy our music, so it's quite nice. I wouldn't say it's bad. It's not grossly distorting, but it's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you go to the solfeggio scale that everyone talks about in the New Age movement and spiritual movements, the six tones of solfeggio don't distort. When you stack them on top of each other, they're beautiful. But when you go, it's not a scale, and there's only six tones, and theoretically there are 7 to 10 energy centers or chakras in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically don't have enough tones. And when you do the nine solfeggio tones, which many people believe there are nine, they distort on the fifth note and up. So it's a near-perfect scale, the solfeggio.
Mm.
But when you listen to the Lost Scale video, to the 10 tones in the Great Pyramid scale, they're perfect.
Really?
I mean, they're so melodious. Wow. Each note just blends into the next one like butter. They're just absolutely perfect.
Mm.
So the question is, where does it come from? And what are the benefits of meditating to these superior tones?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the benefits if we were to rewrite music on a scale like this? And it's really amazing when you go back to the history of music and you think of, you know, the birth of primitive instruments to the birth of classical music and the Renaissance and Tchaikovsky and Beethoven and Bach and all of them. And you realize that a lot of them, like Beethoven, wrote the Ninth Symphony when he was deaf, and he was hearing movements in the music that, actually, if you get right down to the nitty-gritty, they actually do adjustments to the tones, and they set different sections of the orchestra in different scales, just slight shifts in the scale, because they didn't really match exactly what he was hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was, way back in history, in the 5th or 6th century before Christ, Pythagoras was one of the early Greeks to build the music scale. And we don't know exactly how we got to the numbers and the tones we have in our modern music scale precisely, but we know it basically started with Pythagoras.
Hmm.
But it goes further back for the Greeks than Pythagoras. It goes to the story of the god Apollo, and his sister is actually Artemis. His brother is Hermes, and they create the lyre, the first harp, which was known as the kithara in those days. And the first lyre is created by Apollo and his brother, and possibly his sisters also. Of course, the women always get written out of these stories, so I'm including her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really known, the connection to her and the harp, but because they were inseparable, apparently, it's most likely she had a great deal to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they give a lyre to this individual named Orpheus. And Orpheus, you think of Morpheus in The Matrix, but Orpheus is really becomes a legend and a god in music because he takes the lyre and he goes to Egypt and he comes back with his superior music skill that is so astounding to the Greeks. He's literally enchanting goddesses and gods of all different realms, listening to his new music skill. And out of sheer jealousy, there are many legends on who beheaded Orpheus, but some say it was Zeus, and mm-hmm. of course being the father of Apollo, who was known as the god of the sun and the logos at that time. He's beheaded, and his scale is lost, apparently forever. Mm-hmm. And what I did is I said, well, Pythagoras also went to Egypt, and he studied there, and he studied trigonometry and mathematics in the pyramids. It's most likely the answer to the lost scale is in Egypt. And years ago, I had a revelation in my consciousness that the Great Pyramid's dimensions were a sloped tuner oscillator, a frequency oscillator. And I did a bunch of math on the pyramid, which I won't go into on the show. And I took the dimensions of the capstone base of the pyramid, took the speed of light in Egyptian inches, and resolved the speed of light right down to Egyptian inches. And to calculate a frequency, an electromagnetic frequency, you just take the speed of light divided by the wavelength. Mm-hmm. So I did that for the capstone base, and I got 5.151 megahertz. And I went, oh, my God, that's the slope angle of the Great Pyramid. The builder would have had to have known the speed of light to calculate the pyramid and cut off the top, or not complete the top, at the exact wavelength that would produce a frequency equal to the slope angle. And it got more and more amazing because the number 5151 is in Greek mythology. See, in the ancient Greek world, they applied a number, kind of like we say numerology, for every single word in their dictionary in the ancient Greek world. And the number for the kithara, the lyre, the harp, the early harp, was 51.
Okay.
So you see the same number, 5151. And then I decided to remeasure the true Egyptian cubit by using the most common measurement in the Great Pyramid, which appears everywhere inside the pyramid, is 41.21 Egyptian inches, is 2 cubits. So I cut that in half, and I got a different cubit, which is 20.605 Egyptian inches. And the cubit is a huge argument in mathematics. It's not It's like everyone says, oh, we already know what a cubit is, and it's 20.625, and then somebody else says, no, it's this. But actually, if you use the most common measurement in the pyramid, which is repeatedly everywhere, the width of the Grand Gallery is 41.21 Egyptian inches divided by 2, it's 20.605. Now, wow. God said to make the Ark of the Covenant 2.5 cubits. Hmm. You multiply that by 2.5 cubits, and the Ark of the Covenant is 5151.
Oh, fascinating.
So that ties the Ark of the Covenant to the Great Pyramid, and it's most likely that the Egyptian armies were pursuing Moses and the Exodus not to bring back the slaves, but they needed the Ark because Moses ran off with probably the master tuner for the entire Great Pyramid because it's the same number. It's 51.51 Egyptian inches long, and the frequency of the capstone is 5.151 megahertz square wave. And the slope angle of the pyramid is 51 degrees and 51 minutes. Stonehenge is sitting at 51 degrees north latitude. The number for the harp, the kithara in Greek, is 5151. So what we realize is that's probably where the scale, the secret to the lost scale, lies, is in this ancient Greek wisdom and Egyptian wisdom.
Emmanuel.
And so my C note is 515.1.
I have to.
And then mm-hmm. I did the rest of the math in the pyramid, and I found, oh, my God, I can see the whole scale here. So I found the whole scale, and those are the 10 tones you hear in the video, which is probably the oldest music scale in civilization. And I mean civilization, meaning math, architecture, astronomy, the Great Pyramids. I don't mean that there were not other scales in other civilizations that were beautiful. But this scale is so perfect, it is probably the scale that Orpheus used. And now with this online course we have on my website at davidcerita.net, people are meditating to these tones, and they're just having phenomenally beautiful experiences.
I have to add to I don't mind me interrupting you, Emmanuel, or David, I wanted to tell you quickly that you're onto something that's extremely important. Because I, as people listen to these tones, it's basically new music, but I think it's part of also the spiritual revolution that this planet is undergoing, and you're on the vanguard of that.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's the music in tone. If you go back to all the ancient world religions, I mean, I've been doing meditation every day for 35 years. I've studied with a lot of, you know, Indian gurus and teachers of different traditions. You'll find that sound and toning is so thoroughly enveloped in religion. It's an integral part to a system of elevating consciousness. In fact, in the Gospel of the Egyptians, another lost Christian gospel, Jesus teaches the disciples to chant these seven sacred tones 22 times each. And 22 divided by 7 is Egyptian pi, which is almost exactly the same as our pi, which is the, you know, the formula. You take the distance across a circle times pi to get the distance around it, which is your
right.
circumference.
Right.
So Jesus is teaching toning as a means to elevate consciousness, and it's most likely he's using the law scale. It's most likely because the Egyptians knew this scale. They lived and breathed it. In fact, they've now found harps in ancient Egypt in burial chambers. So we know the harp didn't originate with the Greek and the god Apollo. It actually probably goes back much further than that. But that is the modern story we have. You see, Pythagoras comes along after Orpheus, after Apollo, and he builds the monochord, and he starts creating a scale of music. And then we have, you know, Kepler, and we have all kinds of other theologians coming in the music world, you know, theologists, into building music theory and building instruments that can replicate these precise tones. But our music scale today was somewhere along the line distorted. It doesn't look like it was what the Greeks were using,
right,
to me.
Right, I've heard that before.
So because music is used, like the Tibetans use sound in chanting, of course, when you chant the mantra Om in the Vedas, the mantra Om is supposed to be a replication of the sound of the sun, the sound that our sun makes in the Vedas. And where it gets really amazing is there's part of the story. There's a goddess, and her name is Harmony. It's in Jamie James' book, The Music of the Spheres, which is a masterful read book. You've got to read this book if you want to really understand music theory.
Mm-hmm.
And the goddess Harmony comes into this wedding feast, and she's the daughter of Venus. So this is a Roman goddess, not a Greek goddess. And she's wearing an instrument around her chest that has all these wheels. See, we use strings. We pluck strings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And strings vibrate in two dimensions, but a spinning wheel would vibrate in three spatial dimensions, much more advanced than a string. And this, she's got all this glittering gold, you know, ornamental crown and all this beautiful garment she's wearing, and she comes into this wedding feast, and her instrument, nobody knows today what this instrument is, and it just yields this beautiful chorus of music as these wheels start spinning from her chest. And afterwards, she sits down with the experts and all the, you know, all of the philosophers, and she goes on to tell them that she developed this instrument, this music scale, based on the motion of the planets. And what's amazing about the scale I've discovered in the pyramid is it's a 10-tone scale, and we live in a 10-sphere solar system.
Mm-hmm.
When you count the sun and you count all the planets out to Pluto, you have 9 planets and a 10th sphere beating the sun. Well, music is all based on ratios. And ratios and frequencies never change whether you're using inches or metric or any unit of measure.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I actually have an ebook on, you know, revealing the numbers and the frequencies of all these tones in the law scale on my website at davidsrita.net for people who want to get it and really see this. But what's amazing about her instrument is that when I discovered the 10 bass tones, I had to come up with an octave that was not our octave. So you think, you know, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. You think 8 octaves or 10 octaves, some people argue, in the audible range. So you have A, B, C, D, F, G, A, B, C, D, F, G, A, B, C, D, F, G, you know, going up another octave. 1 octave is times 2. So you take the left key on your piano is 110 vibrations per second tone. Times 2 is 220. Times 2 again is 440. So A, 440 is where most people start their music scale. They don't go to the lowest octave on the piano. So that's what I'm saying. That's how our music system is built.
Right.
You have octaves, you have tones, and then you have a perfect fifth and a major third. You have these other movements across the scale, and then you have these things called overtones. So,
David, if you don't mind me stopping you right there, my friend, it's the bottom of the hour, and I just want to make a station announcement. For those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. And we're talking to David Sarita about a fascinating discussion about spirituality and different tones. I want to add, before we go on, David, that your work is fascinating, and I've heard about this before. Have you heard of a psychic named Dolores Cannon? I believe she passed away last year.
I've heard of her, yeah.
Yeah, well, she's a fascinating lady. I met her once, actually, in 97. She gave me a reading, and she not only went backward in time, but she went forward in time by 100 years. And at that time, in the year 2097, I was in an orbiting spacecraft. I was a Pleiadian in a blue jumpsuit, and I was a flight engineer on one of their crafts. And I was far, far above the planet Earth, looking down, beautiful, beautiful. And I asked myself then, 100 years from now, in 2097, what the planet was like. And there was, of course, these troubles we're experiencing now in the 2010s and the 2020s. But beyond that, the planet had turned into a beautiful, truly a spiritually advanced place, a paradise, if you will. But one of the reasons I wanted to bring her up is that she's written several books called The Convoluted Universe. And I can't remember whether it was volume 2 or 1. But at any rate, she talked about when Atlantis perished, maybe 12, what I can't remember the date, 10, 11, 12,000 years ago, there were survivors, and they did make it to Egypt. And they helped, according to her psychic readings, the escaping Atlanteans helped the local indigenous people in Egypt build these pyramids. And one of the ways they did it, people often wonder, the archaeologists wonder how they lifted these heavy rocks. They did it through tones and chanting. You'd have a group.
Exactly.
She said that there would be people around this rock quarry, and through tones and chanting, they would physically move these extremely, large rocks that weighs hundreds of tons, and that you couldn't do it physically, but you could do it through the tones. And your discussion about the tones are very powerful. But please continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to tell my listeners that.
No, that's an incredible story. There's an example of Tibetans using drums and instruments in an arc, and they would cause the sound wave to compress at the radius point of the arc and place a stone there and levitate it. And apparently people have actually witnessed this in relatively modern times. So sound is everything. It's so integral to getting you into higher states of consciousness, which is what mantra, you know, a spiritual word is all about. It's about using a sound and a vibration to elevate your consciousness. And what we're doing in this course is, because there's a total of 360 tones in 3 scales, is for 3 years we're going to start with spending 6 months of the year doing breath work and listening and singing to these tones. And when you sing to them, you're just matching the sound with different vowels, which is what Jesus did in the Gospel of the Egyptians. You can Google the Gospel of the Egyptians, and you can look at it. You can see the 7 sacred vowels. And you can use A-E-I-O-U sounds to match the pitch. And when you get close, you hear this pulsing and shimmering, you know, when you're either using speakers or headphones. You can hear this. And it puts you in an altered state of consciousness. And each 2 weeks, we shift up another octave, another octave, another octave. So we're slowly raising the body up. And already, I was really astounded that people very early on were being visited by light beings, and they were experiencing greater spatial awareness. They were going into deep states of meditation, and some of them were having profound visions of sacred geometries just with the first couple of octaves. So, you know, right now we're only on the fifth octave in the course. It's not live. You know, people can start anytime they want. And, you know, that, so that's where we're going with it now. But where it ultimately goes is far greater than that. I really believe there are secrets in these tones because, you know, you think of spiritual kundalini energy, life force energy, trying to go up your spine and through the chakras. And if one of the chakras is toning slightly off, when you have distortion, what it's doing is it's knocking the energy back down instead of causing it to ascend. So traditionally, you know, when you chant a mantra like Om, you're only using one tone. But when you're, if you were to chant the mantra Om and keep going higher and higher and higher, but in perfect pitch, basically, you have a greater success rate of more of your spiritual energy rising because the waves aren't crashing into each other. Mm-hmm. So it's important. It was always important, in, as it is in Native American and First Nation people, to learn how to tone and drum beat and do their rituals of sound with an oral master teacher, because your master oral master teacher will make sure your pitch is perfect.
Sure.
You can't just read a book and start toning. And the beauty of using a tone generator to generate the tones is your voice is trying to match that pitch. And it's teaching you like a waveguide to sing precisely in these tones. And that's what causes a spiritual ascension. And when you get into, because you mentioned your Palladian experience, I mean, one of the first things I did is I took, because NASA had data, measurement data on six of the Palladian stars, I was able to calculate their frequencies and scale them. And because each star and each planet in any solar system is a different size, they produce different frequencies. Just like Earth has a frequency, according to Tesla, where he measured it, 7.83 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I used NASA radius data on all the nine planets of the solar system and calculated all their frequencies, and they all corresponded to a different human brainwave state.
Wow, that's fascinating. Just fascinating.
Just fascinating. Like, mm-hmm. The odds of our brainwaves equaling the frequencies of the nine planets could only mean that they were related, that our nine planets...
Absolutely.
Sorry, what's that?
Absolutely. This is fascinating. Just fascinating.
See, it would mean that we're being tuned on a daily basis by the frequencies of the nine planets, and they're cooperatively responsible for generating mm-hmm. our brainwave states.
Mm-hmm.
The scientist, virologist Luc Montagne, who discovered the AIDS virus, did testing on human DNA and to see if it could read frequencies.
Oh, really?
Electromagnetic frequencies. And he found it could read ultra-low and ultra-high frequencies all day long.
Wow. Fascinating.
So why wouldn't your DNA in the center of every one of your cells be responding to the frequencies of the nine planets? It's most likely we are tuned to the nine planets. So once again, you go back to the goddess Harmony and her instrument, which she devised by studying the motion of the nine of the planets that were visible
sure.
to the Romans,
sure.
which would be six.
Sure.
And that's where she got her music.
Amazing.
It's no wonder it was so beautiful and perfect, because we're tuned to the planets.
David, I have to ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Could the right tones, for example, raise your vibration sufficiently enough to cure cancer? Is that possible?
I can't make a claim legally, but
right.
I can say it makes perfect sense
right.
that a body... One of the things that causes cancer are microwaves and electromagnetic radiation, you know, nuclear radiation can cause cancer.
Right.
And basically, when your cells go out of tune because of all this disharmonic electrical field pollution,
right.
you know, cancer definitely accelerated with the birth of electricity in the nuclear age.
Right.
Because the electricity going in through your house, all your wiring is 60 hertz. So it's all... 60 hertz doesn't mean anything to the body. But there's a frequency incredibly close to 60 hertz that your light bulbs would not flicker, and it would be perfectly tuned. And
really?
And that frequency would be the
61.61.
So 61.61 hertz is the next frequency up in the base scale of the scale of the pyramids.
Amazing.
So, and all the numbers are in the ebooks for people who want to see them. So we could change everything by harmonizing our electrical fields around us, and including our Wi-Fi transmitters. Like I have all these harmonic field transmitters on my website that I sell. So you can reharmonize the fields around you. But where it gets really exciting, you know, based on what your experience is, Ted, is I calculated the frequencies of the Palladian, six of the Palladian suns, because NASA knew a pretty accurate radius of six of the stars, and I scaled them into the audible range through a scaling technique. And you listen to the Palladian tones and you go, oh, my God, you can tune. You see, this is how radio tuning works. You're listening right now on a radio system, a network system, whether it's internet or actual transmitted radio. You generate a frequency in the transmitter receiver using quartz crystal oscillators, and any two frequencies generated from any two oscillators anywhere on the planet are instantly communicating with each other.
Really?
Because they're at the same frequency. So the way communication telecommunication works is any two oscillators that are tuned to the same frequency set up a line of communication. And that's how you're hearing, you know, you tune on your radio dial to a frequency model. FM means frequency modulated frequency. AM is amplitude modulation. So if I tune you to the Pleiades, will you have a communication with them? And so I did that, and I meditated to the Palladian frequencies using a transmitter, not a sound wave.
Wow.
And I had dozens and dozens of encounters with Palladians over the years.
Fascinating.
It makes perfect sense that every star is a different size. So the way the universe is set up is there's no two stars that are the same frequency, just like there's no two shows on the same radio station. Earth is 7.83 hertz at part of the band of Earth average is 7.83 hertz, and Mars is, you know, it's a different frequency. I have all the frequencies of the nine planets. So if you want to have an experience in your consciousness at another star, like Alpha Centauri and Sirius, we have those frequencies very exact because they're very close.
So
just tune to it.
Do we just go to your website and flick on there, and there's a frequency there that they can.
Well, if you go to my website, davidsereda.net, you'll see the frequencies of the nine planets.
Okay.
You'll see my course, and you'll see my mantra frequency transmitters.
Okay. Okay.
And pendants and all sorts of things. I'm now going to release the sounds of the scaled frequencies of the different star systems. I haven't released those yet, so you have to stay tuned to my site for those coming out soon.
I have to tell you that I've been able to communicate with sometimes I've been able to communicate with people around the world who I deeply love and care about, and it doesn't matter where I am, and it doesn't matter where they are. They could be 10,000 miles away, but I know what they're thinking, and they know what I'm thinking, and we can exchange messages even if we're 200 miles away or 10,000 miles away. And I've done it before successfully, and it's the same principle, I think, with the Palladians. I wanted to ask your permission. I don't want to do it now, but perhaps toward the end of our hour here, maybe in about 10 minutes or so. I have a friend of mine who's been in contact with the Galactic Alliance for the last 53 years. He's had face to face contact, and they've taught him some tones as well. And I was wondering, If you don't want to do it, that's fine, David, but I thought it'd be fun to bring him on, and he could, just for a few minutes, and he could share a tone that puts you in touch with the Galactic Alliance and asks for their help and protection, if you're interested.
Sure.
Okay. Well, we'll wait a few minutes on that. I just wanted to ask your permission first before I did that. But
every star in the Andromeda Galaxy, our nearest galaxy, will have, even though the sizing of the circumference of stars can sometimes only be a little bit different and sometimes greatly different, But you can see when you're tuning radio stations on your FM band or your AM band, if you just move it a little bit, there can be another station there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the universe is set up this way with different... It's also constellations are even more unique. See, what happens is like a song. A song is a compilation of multiple instruments and multiple frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
And that sets up a signature vibration for that song. So when you stack frequencies together, you create a more proprietary signature set of frequencies that sets that stargate star system apart from being confused with any other constellation anywhere in the universe, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And just like there are, you know, 8 billion people, 7, 8 billion people approaching on Earth, mm-hmm. every one of us has a different voice. Like, it doesn't matter who you talk to. You'll never see two people with the identical voice. And that's because each one of us is a signature of multiple frequency blends. So first, frequency sets us apart. So you can tune any two crystal tuners in your cell phone or your radio or the internet to allow mm-hmm. you to communicate with a distant location person.
Mm-hmm.
But then the universe gets more sophisticated by doing sets of tones, and those are blends.
Mm-hmm.
So the Pleiades is, well, there's 9 major stars, but there's actually hundreds of other stars in that system.
Mm-hmm.
But if you generate, you know, 6 of those tones together, mm-hmm. it creates a signature set of tones. So the universe goes, that only belongs to Pleiades. It doesn't exist anywhere else.
I have to ask you a quick question, David. Pardon me for interrupting, my friend, but mm-hmm. is there a tone you could share that would spiritually uplift my many listeners around the world?
Well, see, I can't through my phone play a tone very well.
Mm-hmm.
If we do a show in the future, what we can do, because you're actually being broadcast through radio networks, right?
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. And internet.
I can set up a meditation where we can, with permission, with your network, we can broadcast a frequency silently through the magnetic wave of the broadcast.
Oh, fantastic. I'd love to do that.
And it will go through the system. I know how to rig it, and I can send it to you, and you can play it, but it'll be a frequency, for example, of a Palladian sun, but, you know, the frequencies of those stars at their equators is below the audible wavelength, but it'll still go out through all the antennas.
Right.
And we'll see if we can set up that everyone who's listening to ask for an experience with them.
I've had a Palladian on the show before with Christine Day. She was very kind to bring her friend, Pleiadian friend, along. I've also mm-hmm. had people from the Andromeda Galaxy as well, from Emma Louise Hansen from Norway, who's in direct contact with them. So mm-hmm. they have been on my show before, and it would truly be an out-of-this-world experience to do that. Thank you, David. Well, I'll have you on again in a couple months, and we'll do that. I'd love to do that. That sounds like so much fun.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a lot of fun, yeah. I mean, it's amazing how certain human beings just naturally... We'll get tuned to Andromeda Galaxy, for example, or Pleiades, and they just channel them because they're vibrationally being tuned.
Sure, sure. Well, I think all of us are actually not from this planet. I think we all came from somewhere else, and my own guides have told me that I am from the Pleiadians constellation.
You probably are. I've spent lifetimes there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we're all down here on the planet Earth. And our assignment is to make it a better place. So that's what I'm trying to do with this radio show. David, would you mind? I'm going to bring on my friend. I hadn't planned to do this, but when you started talking about tones and how beneficial they are, I couldn't help but think of my friend Scott Lemriel. He'll only be on for a few minutes.
Yeah, bring him on. Let's hear.
Yeah, I want him to demonstrate the Hue, which is a tone from the Galactic Alliance. They are a beneficial, highly evolved alliance of people and entities from, they comprise, I think, about 1/3 of this galaxy. And so there's a lot of individuals out there, approximately 7 trillion. Hello, Scott, are you there? Hello. Okay, hold on here just a minute. We'll get him on the line, David. But I wanted to bring him on just to share that. Hello, Scott, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Ted.
Okay, hi, Scott. Hi, Scott. I hope you don't mind, David, but David...
No, this will be interesting.
Yeah, David has been having a fascinating interview about tones, and
No, I listen to the show.
Oh,
I'm right up with you.
Oh, good. Oh, good. This is Scott Lemriel. For those who are not familiar with his work, he's got a best-selling book called The Serres Agenda, S-E-R-E-S, Agenda. Wonderful, fascinating book. And Scott, if you could demonstrate or talk a little bit about the hue.
Yeah, hi, David. Nice to meet you. I enjoyed what you were saying about the tones and all the work you've done.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, nice about all the frequencies, and I have to agree with you. I mean, I have to concur and support you in that each tone frequency accesses some point in space-time, or even beyond space-time. I think that's part of where you're headed with the chakras and that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
there is a tone that was brought here from other worlds a long time ago and kept sacred. You may have heard of it, known as HU or HU, which is not owned or copyrighted or possessed by any organization on Earth or on any other planet. And it accesses the primordial first sound, which was used to bring creation into existence. So it goes to a pure area of the individual through the pineal gland. This is very important. I know you know about the pineal gland, am I correct?
Sure, I do.
Yeah, inside it are rods and cones, like you have in the physical eyes. And what people call the proverbial third eye, it's connected to the optic nerve. And there's a liquid in it. When it gets cloudy, people can't use the functionality of that. So it's the way people are controlled. Each one of those rods and cones is tuned to a precise frequency out there in the multidimensional universe. The hue accesses a vibrational current in a primordial sense and plugs you, the being, into it. And then, depending on where you focus your imagination, it tunes into a precise frequency to experience whatever you may want to experience, whether it's Pleiadian worlds or other planetary systems. And it also can connect a person into the ability to have the wisdom to discern benevolent beings from malevolent ones, which is real important.
It's kind of like Ekankar, is it?
Well, yeah, Ekankar does distribute or disseminate the hue, but they don't possess or copyright or own it.
Sure.
You know, that is
actually
not...
it's interesting because when we do our toning, when we get to the higher tones, the value is really mostly used to match those tones.
That's interesting. Isn't that interesting?
So you're just going you.
Yeah.
You know, you're
because yeah, when and you're... It doesn't matter what tone a person chooses, whatever they're comfortable with, because the function of the hue, the sacred or the secret aspect of it, is that it can only connect with those forces, consciousnesses, and beings that are benevolent out there in the creation. It does not and cannot connect with anything negative. And it also provides a certain protection that was brought into the hue maybe 4.5 years ago. Earth time for the first time, which makes it possible for all of us to do the kind of work we're starting to do now. There's a protection that goes with this that cannot be penetrated by any negative power, hidden government, bad ETs, any of that. And that's something that has to be experienced for people to know its validity. When I do it, it's just like what you did. Doing it together, so it's opening a vortex through the pineal gland. It's connecting to a specific point in that gland to a specific energy. All these different frequencies you're talking about, I can't wait to look at your website, and I will check it out after.
Yeah, because you can take you, and you can lower it or raise it. You can go you or you.
Yep, you can start at a little.
And it's funny because I've always said that maybe in my next life I want to come back as a singer. My wife is a beautiful singer, and I just can't sing. But since I started toning, I'm singing much better.
Of course, because all the knowledge in the universe that's been purposely suppressed in people on Earth begins to awaken in a safe way through the hue.
Yeah,
I
mean,
work
just
with your
like
toning.
The way. You could sing while you were doing hard labor. You know, I used to plant trees for 22 years, and when you break out in song on the hillside and you're doing all this hard labor, it takes away the pain of the labor, you know, and the women used to do this in the Black South and the cotton pickers, and that's probably why some of the best music came out of the Black South. I mean, because the hard labor, and they just learned how to sing their way through it.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of lost this ritual. In our workplace.
Well, David, it's interesting. I'm David a composer and a musician also and a singer.
David and Scott, this is something important I just realized. Scott has a David, I should tell you, Scott has a cat in his, with him now, and his cat's agreeing with everything you're saying. So I can hear him in the back saying that. So I speak Cantonese cat language. So.
Yeah, Cantonese, okay.
Cantonese,
that's
yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah.
So. Yeah,
I'm looking at your book right now, The Series Agenda. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, it looks very interesting. No, it's so true. I mean, years ago, I was introduced to Ekankar. I never followed it because I was a hardcore Buddhist meditator. And
sure.
Near the end of my, I can't say the end. I've been meditating every day for 35 years. I've had meetings with Christ and the Virgin Mary and Mary Magdalene. And
mm-hmm. All possible.
And I've met beings that nobody's ever heard of their names before. And
yeah.
The year.
I understand.
1994, I started after my first visitation of Christ blinding like a thousand suns. I could see ghosts and spirit beings. And one day, I woke up in my yurt. I was living in a yurt on my dad's ranch in Topanga, California, which was right behind the Inn of the Seventh Ray.
And I know where that is. Been there.
Yeah. I mean, my yurt was right behind that. I hear all the weddings. And that's the only place that Jesus would appear to me is when I came home to my yurt after tree planting.
Yeah.
And one night I wake up and there's three balls of light in the tent, in the room. It's all built on a deck. And they're about the size of beach balls, and one's fuchsia and one's kind of a bluish, beautiful
I've
blue
experienced
tone, and one's white.
Those things, yeah.
And they start talking English and they say that they're Arcturians. I'd never heard of Arcturus.
Right.
I was a Buddhist meditator. I was like, what's Arcturus? What does this mean? And they were laughing, and I got nervous, and I said, you guys need to leave. And they left, and kind of laughing as they left. And they pulled me out of body, and I followed them above Topanga, and I saw these giant lightship UFOs they went into.
Mm-hmm.
And years later, it took me a while to find Norma Milanovic's book, We the Arcturians, and she mentions those same three colors. Well, of course, when you see these beings, they're emitting frequencies and tones, and you...
Right.
You realize that the whole universe, like Pythagoras said, the music of the spheres, is that all planets and stars are emitting frequencies and music, and that's what allows you to have a safe experience in meeting beings from another world.
Yep. I wanted to mention that the hue will connect you to beings now out there in our particular galaxy, in the physical reality, and in many parallel dimensions, that attune and listen in and tune into people doing it, because it's a precise frequency or place it connects through the pineal gland, and these people practice it and use it every day. And this is important to keep from ever acquiring a subconscious mind, because they don't have one. People on Earth are controlled through that.
David, pardon me for interrupting Scott and David. We've got just a couple more minutes. I just wanted to make a quick announcement, then let David let you have the final say.
Yep.
And if you want to, for those who are just tuning in, this is Out of This World Radio with your host Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle on 1150 AM. We are one of the most popular talk shows in Seattle, and we are also the fastest growing psychic and UFO radio program in the world with listeners in over 60 countries. We're having a fascinating interview with David Sarita from Canada, and also on the line, my friend Scott Lemriel is kind enough to join us to share some wonderful things from the Galactic Alliance. 1 week from today, we will be having Celeste Jacoby talking about her book, How Do You Pray? And in the coming weeks, we will also be having on Rupert Sheldrick, one of the world's most famous scientists, coming in from London, England. Dr. Mel Gill, the producer of the Meta Secret movie, fascinating movie. Susie Ward, who will be talking about Matthew's messages from her son who's passed over on the other side, as well as Terry Wolfsberg, coming to us live from Bergen, Norway, who will be talking about a wonderful UFO conference he'll be sponsoring this fall in Norway. But with that, also, I'd like to mention that I'm having a Galactic Wisdom Conference in Gig Harbor, Washington, in March. That website is www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Please check it out. And David, go right ahead, please. You've got about a minute.
Yeah, so I really resonate with what Scott's saying about the hue. We use the U sound with the upper series of our tones, and the O and the A with the lower sets of tones. But these tones are so precise. So it's not just one tone. There's 120 tones you master in a year. It's going to take 3 years to master the whole scale, and then we're going to move on to toning to the scale of the nine planets and then toning to distant star systems. But already, if you go to davidsereda.net, S-E-R-E-D-A, you can see my harmonic field transmitters, which can reharmonize the electrical field pollution in your house.
We've run out of time. I'm sorry, David, but you all, okay. Everyone have, David and Scott, have a wonderful weekend. Take care.